All right.
All right.
So here we are, another episode of Overass presented by The Broke Agent, hosted by myself, Matt Leonetti. Today, we have the other half of Overass, Mr. Eric Simon, aka The Broke Agent. I'm laughing because his name got butchered earlier today.
Yeah, we were on a podcast, The Dan O'Neill Show, which was fun.
It was really fun, but he started saying that his name was Eric Stickle.
Yes, Stickle, which would be a disgusting last name. My nickname is Stick, so I think that's what he was getting it from. But I mean, do 2 seconds of research, right? Like, I think he could find my name pretty quickly. That's kind of just the basis of starting off a podcast, is not butchering the name. But
that was incredible.
That was love Dan O'Neill. That was funny.
He's going to be on the show as well. So yeah, thought we'd bring on Eric. He, you know, obviously has the Broke Agent. He's doing a bunch of shit. So we thought it'd be fun. A lot of people always DM him and ask him for like social media advice. And now they're DMing me to ask him for social media advice because he's so fucking, there's so many
sought after.
So sought after, desirable. You're like we were talking about this. You're like a C, maybe D list celebrity.
In real estate.
In real estate.
So C-list in real estate.
Yeah.
So that's
J-list. Right. That's, well, R-list. R-list. For
right.
Real
yeah,
estate.
I guess R-list. Yeah.
Yep. So bring you on. But yeah, people ask me all the time. They're like, can you message a Broke Agent for me? And like, you know, he'll get to you. If you have a good meme, he'll get to you. If you don't.
That's right.
Do better.
No response. Yeah. Yes.
And then if you have a good one, he'll get to you. So, Eric, I think everyone just wants to know, we're going to jump right into this here. You have grown a great social media Instagram page. Well, all across social media, but Instagram's your main page, I would say.
Bread and butter, yes.
Yes. And you're not like on TV. You're not famous. You just did it. You were just a normal dude that was sick of selling real estate, so you started an Instagram page. So how'd you do it? How'd you get to 246,000 followers?
Yeah, 246.
Wow.
Got there by just posting funny shit. There was nothing else like there. It's just funny because we've had this conversation 3 times already. So yeah, just repeating it.
I know what he's gonna say.
We had some mic problems before, so it's just pretend you're never hearing this before.
Yeah.
Yeah, no TV, nothing to help. Basically, 2015, I was a struggling agent, sitting dead, open houses, door knocking, cold calling. All sucked. Everything I saw was just self-promotional, top producer stuff on Instagram. And then just started tweeting out the inner monologue of a struggling realtor, as you've heard me say 10,000 times. But it was just kind of like, hey, this open house sucks. No one's coming in. I have no leads. Just kind of like depressing content, basically. But it picked up because no one else was producing depressing content, because depressing content is not a good way to get real estate business.
No.
But that was never the goal. So started just posting tweets, basically, and then eventually realized that I could do memes that I was seeing on, you know, Fuck Jerry, the Fat Jewish, kind of big meme pages, and just throwing a real estate twist on it. So that's kind of how it started.
So you started it 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And when did you start real estate?
6 years ago.
Okay, so
five and a half years ago.
So about 6 months in, you're like, I can't fucking deal with this.
Literally, so, yeah, 6 months as a buyer's agent is when I started this, like on the nose. I was a receptionist at first at a brokerage, and then I was an assistant. So I kind of had experience, but that is when I was on a path of thinking, I'm going to be a real estate agent.
Okay.
But then as a buyer's agent, when I was on my own, not getting a salary, mm-hmm. and, you know, getting 30% of listings I wasn't bringing in. So 30% of nothing. And then 40% of buyers I was bringing in, which is also 40% of nothing. Just door knocking, cold calling at, you know, 24, 25 years old with no experience. No one wanted to list with me. Understandable.
No,
why would you?
Not.
Especially in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Like it,
$3 million
I feel like
home, me.
$3 million home. And you have, you know, the TV guys, like $1 million listing, all that shit. Like, how do you even compete?
Yeah.
You know, so 6 months in. No, you still aren't. Because you're
not.
Still,
yeah, it's over. Competition done. Finish.
So you 6 months. So you started. Mm-hmm. So from 0 to 6 months, you were thinking, let's fucking do this real estate. You were like all in.
And I would never say I was all in. I always kind of thought this was like a temporary career.
Okay, so that was your first.
This is another horrible, not a temporary career, but like I didn't think at the age of 45 I was going to be a real estate agent. I thought this is a way to meet people. This is a good way to make money. I know a bunch of people. I went to USC here in Los Angeles, so I had a good network of friends that were going to buy condos and stuff eventually. Right. So I thought, hey, this is a good way to make money and not have a 9-to-5. Honestly, yeah. A lot of my thinking was just like.
So generic thinking. Yeah. Generic. Yeah. I'm going to get into real estate for all the free time.
For all the free time, show houses, the glamour, shit like that. So stupid thinking by me, of course. And yeah, after a while, I realized that I could just take another angle and just start making fun of people that weren't doing well in real estate, AKA myself.
So you started the broke agent. Mm-hmm. 6 months in, you're just like, you know what? I can't fucking do it anymore. So you're like,
well, I didn't quit real estate.
I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to start an Instagram page.
Yes.
So yeah. That was your, okay.
Not, but I mean, not really. It was basically, I had a partner at the time, Wes Pinkson, who I started this with.
Yeah.
And he wanted me to write for his blog. Basically he was building agent websites and wanted to start a blog. And I had a career, not really a career. It was never paid, but I wrote blogs before. One was called The Pudgy Caddy. It was like a funny sports comedy blog.
Yeah, you're a good writer. You are a good writer, yeah.
Thank you. And I knew that I could do that with real estate. I knew there was no funny blogs being written about real estate. So I said, let's do a funny blog. He said, let's, you know, make social media handles. We said, let's call it The Broke Agent. Went on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And we didn't really know which platform would work the best, but it turns out Instagram worked the best because way more intimate than Facebook. People didn't really want to share our stuff at first because it said The Broke Agent on it. And because we were sharing kind of like industry secrets in a way that have never been told before.
So you started it. How long, like, did it blow up like right away? Cause like sometimes you start a page and it just doesn't do what you want. Then you just like stop, but you've been doing it clearly. And now you're like the biggest
now
on Instagram
my own podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Now you have your own podcast.
I created.
Yeah.
So we created it. Mean,
so there you go.
Really made it.
So was it like, cause I know you're all about like likes, you need that instant gratification. So yeah, like, were you getting that?
Paint me in a receptive light.
Well, but it's like a lot of things. You start an Instagram page, you have a vision. Did it kind of take off like you thought it would right away?
Yeah, it actually did. I got good feedback, likes and comments pretty much immediately, which was great. Tom Ferry, I think, either reposted it or retweeted us. And that kind of gave us instant validation. And just because there wasn't anything else like it besides Lighter Side, it worked very quickly. Yeah. And this was kind of in a phase where Instagram was less buzzword saturated, again, which you've also heard me say 10,000 times on this podcast, which we've recorded 10,000 times. But you know, there weren't a million meme accounts yet in every single industry. Cause now there's like attorney problems, there's stupid resumes, there's so many work accounts that were doing this. And I feel like, I'm not saying I was the first, of course, but at least in real estate, I feel like this was kind of the first meme slash comedy account that wasn't just like a Facebook page like Lighter Side, which is a comedy account because
it's not funny. It's not, it's just cookie cutter bullshit.
Yeah. Cookie cutter bullshit.
Yeah. Exactly. So you're like edgy. And I think that's what draws the audience, right? Is the bit of edginess, because it just feels like you're rebelling against the industry and it's like a place for people to go at the end of the day. Mm-hmm.
It's a place of solace, if you will, to get poetic with it. But yeah, the edginess is necessary at the beginning and is still necessary, of course. But as your following grows, you kind of naturally get less edgy.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's what's happening, but sometimes I do feel myself being like, oh shit, if I post this, now there's 250,000 people looking at it, as opposed to when it's like, I just want to get noticed. I just want people to think this is hilarious.
Yeah, so you just think
you got to keep that edge going. But at the same time, you do have to be cognizant of the fact like, okay, if I post this, is this going to insult a bunch of realtors? Is this going to get shared around Facebook groups or Facebook pages? If I'm, you know, resharing someone's story that is like a bad text message with another agent, is that agent going to see it? The bad text message agent, and be like, what the fuck is this idiot posting my stuff for?
Yeah.
So.
And it's very possible.
With great power becomes With great power comes great responsibility with real estate agents.
So what Eric's saying is he's changing the name The Broke Agent to The Writer Side of Real Estate. So it's going to be less exactly. edge.
The darker side.
More the writer side.
Right.
The darker side. Oh, you could be the darker side.
Yeah. Why the writer side?
It just rhymed.
Oh, okay.
It's the first thing I thought. The fighter side.
Yeah. I mean, you should have just thought the darker side.
Well, you said that on another podcast. Yeah, that would be better. Like a contrast thing, light, dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, opposite. Makes more sense than a rhyme.
Fuck. Well.
All right, guys.
Well, that was fun. So the Broke Agent, how'd you think of the name? Was it like this whole, I mean, because when we thought of Overask, I thought of it. So did someone else think of Broke Agent? Because you're not very, you know, you're not good with names.
Mm-hmm. Well, you came up with Overask because I got you to coming up with Overask.
Yeah,
I
yours said, was no contingency.
I said overasking price, no contingencies. And you just
kind of shortened it a little bit. You just said no contingencies.
Which is also a good name for a podcast.
Yeah, for a, if it's a fucking, you know, going straight real estate to,
podcast.
Yeah, I guess.
with you know, no filter. It's
what was
no
mine?
Contingencies.
What was Which mine? What? Mine, I had one that was like, it was like, what was it? Sold conditionally or something?
Yeah, sold conditionally or like double end.
Yeah, it was something, deal. It was really long.
Yeah.
Okay, so how'd you think of the name and was it a hard process?
No, the name came immediately. We just knew that 80% or 90% of agents quit after the first couple of years. And most agents are broke agents, you know, doing like $30,000, $40,000 worth of real estate deals. So we thought it would kind of appeal to the masses more. And, you know, now I don't know if I'm too happy about the name. I think it's a staple in the industry now, hopefully, which is cool. But also, you know, as the brand evolves and it becomes like, hey, I want to help agents actually either with their social media or with their marketing or like introduce them to tools or resources that I have or connections that I have or the brand has. Now it's like, all right, the broke agent, or like, do I want to take advice from the broke agent or do I, you know, want to transition the name? But
you can do the woke agent.
Yeah, exactly. The woke.
There agent, we go. The, totally fucking redeemed myself there.
The Coke agent.
The Coke agent. Well, I actually said that before.
No, I said that before. That was my
joke. Oh, that was your joke. Yeah. I said something else. But
yeah.
So
Toke,
the name.
The Toke agent.
There you go. You could have like a whole, you can have all the drugs. You can have a page for all the drugs.
The bloke agent. Or the croak agent, just like the croak agent.
Yeah, the stoked agent.
The stoked agent, exactly.
That's like surfer, I think dude.
The woke agent would be hilarious. Just an agent getting offended by everything.
Yeah. Why don't you do a good cop, bad cop, of broke agent and woke agent?
How about I do a meme of the woke agent, then you could steal it for one of your videos.
Sure. Sure, that sounds good.
Be perfect.
I'll steal that. Okay, so now you're here. You have, you know, how many followers did you have at the end of year one?
I don't know. It was probably around 40,000, I would say.
Okay, so at the end of year one, you were like...
We spoke at an Inman conference, and that's kind of when it really picked up. So I think we had like 15, 20,000 before the Inman conference, and then we spoke at that. And then we were ambassadors at one in New York. So I think that really helped just like meeting people, getting the word out there. So I think 40,000, 50,000 after the year one.
Okay. So it was like, you know, there was promise there at the end of year one. You're like, okay, I can start to see. And then were you always trying to leverage the page eventually to all these different things that you're doing now? Was that always your idea?
Yeah, it was always kind of trial and error. There was a lot of things I did that failed. I had a podcast called Caravan Confessions, where it was just me as the host, where I would interview agents and they'd kind of tell their crazy stories. But
wow, sounds it was terrible. Really
dependent. Yeah, does it? Sounds kind of
no, good, it's a, yeah, it does sound good.
Yeah, do you guys have caravan in Canada?
No.
Do you know what that is?
No, I just like we have a caravan.
I came up with this name.
Caravan Confessions? Right. No, I don't know what that is.
Okay. A caravanning in Los Angeles, at least, is when you go on like broker's caravan every Tuesday here in Los Angeles from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. before the pandemic, you go check out all the broker's open houses and it's called going on caravan. So it's like Caravan Confessions. My idea was that people would listen to this, listen to crazy stories.
Right.
But I wasn't a great host, to be honest. And it was very dependent on the guests also. So if they weren't charismatic or telling good stories, then it was just like, wasn't that good.
Yeah. So just like this episode.
Yeah, just like this episode, exactly. I always knew that I wanted more media plays, whether it was podcasting, YouTube skits, blog posting, stuff like that. So I've really done everything. I've done YouTube videos. The blog was good, but that's super time consuming. I'm finding that just doing blog style, like Instagram posts, is good enough. Not that I do that, but I assume that would be good enough. You know, we have the Broke News Network. I had a animation series, a cartoon series, which we did a Kickstarter for, which we had one episode, tremendously successful.
Can we watch that anywhere? Is that?
Yeah, it's on the Instagram from like 2018. Oh, really? Yeah, it got like 30,000 views. It was pretty good.
Oh, fuck. That's pretty
good. But animation's expensive as fuck. So it was cost $7,000 for one video.
Do you do it?
So thinking there.
What did you said you were in animation at one point?
I raised the money through the Broke Agent, wrote the animation for a 1 minute clip, and it was basically like a agent profile video. You know, those ones like set to piano music.
Yeah.
And it's them like talking to their clients and
that's hilarious.
You know, showing a house or something. So it was like a mockery of that. And it was like the Broke Agent cartoon character. So then that kind of evolved into the book Commission Impossible.
Right.
When I was posting kind of like weekly cartoons before with the Real Estate Squarepants, Eric Lee, and it's just been all over the place, but it's finally coming together now with, thank God you came into my life.
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah, why an awkward good. Pause there? Sorry, I'm complimenting you. Jeez.
Yeah, no, it's, no, you're welcome. It's, okay. It's been good work. It's been fantastic working with you because, it's hard to find people who like to do the same things, and it's hard even harder to find people who like to do this little niche thing that we're doing here in the real estate industry, because there's really not a lot of people.
Real estate comedy,
and not only is there only about 10 people to choose from, you need to be on the same page with things, right? And like the workload has to be split properly and all that shit. So it's been a good adventure.
Yes, it has.
And you're very smart. I would like to tell you that. Yeah, you're a very smart person. And I think people might not ever see that. And I think people look at both of us. I think people look at both of us a lot and just think we're like idiots who comedy things. But there's, you know,
I think the marketing is smart. I think there's a lot of people that are starting to emulate what we're doing.
Yeah, I think it's clever. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people realizing like, oh, comedy is the way to build a brand, especially in real estate, because there's so much comedy to be had in every single real estate experience, you know?
Yeah.
But if we ever start doing stand-up real estate comedy,
shoot us in the
face.
Oh my God. Yeah. I know I've seen, I mean, if you're gonna pay, we'll do it. But like, I've seen some and it's
just
not
like
good.
On the stage of like a Tom Ferry conference, just telling escrow jokes, it'd be fucking awful.
What's your escrow joke? I love
it. You know, when I limp around the office and people ask me what's wrong and I tell them I fell out of escrow. Again, I think that was my first real estate joke. That's what got me started.
That's what got you here. It's very impressive. Joke. It is a good joke, but it is impressive how far you've come in 5 years. Now you have your meme template platform.
So Coffee and Contracts has a social media template platform for agents. Yeah. A lot of agents don't have time to post, don't know what to post, which makes sense because they're doing real estate business. You know, we're thinking about posting every single day. We're thinking about how to do clever memes and shit like that. So Coffee and Contracts has a massive template platform, monthly content, Instagram posts, email, highlight covers, slideshows, Instagram stories, stuff like that. And then I partner with them in May to post funny content. So I come up with like 30 to 50 GIFs, memes, and just funny ways for agents to get more engagement. And it's blown up since May. It's awesome.
Yeah,
so
that's
a lot of
awesome.
People are signing up for that. It's like a monthly thing. Link in bio.
If you want nice. To get it. There you go. Well, I've seen some of the stuff and it's actually really good. And the cool part about it is, like you said, you're doing, you know, 30 to 50 templates. So it's not like people go there and pay a month and they have five to choose from. Then everyone has the fucking same thing. You know, there's 30 to 50. That you can choose from every month.
Funny templates a month.
Okay.
And most agents are only going to use one or two of those.
Right.
Because they're not trying to be the Broke Agent or you. They're not trying to do like funny content nonstop. But then you have all the other stuff on the platform too. So it's an awesome service that all agents should use.
I believe that too.
Yeah.
I do not use it, but
You don't need to.
I would.
That's the thing. I mean, a lot of agents don't have the time, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly. So that's really cool. Now, as you said earlier in the pod here, mm-hmm. social, you know, Instagram's oversaturated, right? So that's our buzzword. That's our keyword. How do you grow on Instagram now? You grew 5 years ago, and I think a lot of it was from hashtags and stuff like that. Like, you could get a lot of followers from hashtags.
You could do so much at the beginning. 2015 was like the Wild West. You could like a ton of photos without getting locked out of your account. We would sit there and like thousands of photos a day. That's honestly how we grew a lot, is because The Broke Agent was a sticky name, or was like a new name to people. So if they saw The Broke Agent like their photo, they would come check out our profile. I would comment on 10, 20 photos a day. I would follow, I would unfollow. I would go to every single major real estate account and like interact with everybody in the comments. So all that like growth hacking works, but now it's super limited because Instagram's algorithm knows if you're trying to do stuff like that. So if you like a bunch of photos and hashtag real estate, you're going to get blocked from that action. You might have your account suppressed.
Jesus.
So yes.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah, super intense, because they just don't want any, they don't want any bot like action, right? Or they don't want people to buy bots, because back in the day you could buy growth bots that would just like certain hashtags for you and comment on things for you, and then you would pick up hundreds of followers a day. We never had that, but
no,
I was like my own bot.
You grew so fast, and what's interesting about it is like a lot of people who grow their accounts to big numbers back then when you did don't have great engagement. Because like I always say, it's almost like people follow and then you just forget that you follow that person and you never see their content.
Right.
So it's just like whatever, but you have great engagement as well. So like,
thanks. You gotta keep it going. So I think you were going to ask is like, how do you keep the engagement going since we've done this before?
I was going to ask. So totally different, but that's fine. No, that's what I was.
What was it?
Okay. I was going to ask what you had for breakfast this morning.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, multi-grain Cheerios.
Nice.
You got to keep it going. You got to mix it up. So just memes doesn't work anymore. Even like the big meme pages, like I follow, like Tank Sinatra, who's really funny, was posting memes and has gotten like 70% less engagement because the algorithm changed again, because Instagram is promoting reels, which is their TikTok like feature basically.
Right.
So I kept the engagement going by transitioning to whatever content was kind of popping at that time. So when videos started doing well, I did like, you know, 50% videos, 50% memes. I did normal like tweet-based, word-based posts, posted the TikToks to reels. So you just got to keep it going. And then Instagram stories came out too. So I just did a lot of like interaction on stories.
Yeah, stories was awesome.
Yeah, votes, polls, GIFs, questions. So if they're interacting with your story, they're going to interact more with your feed.
Nice. And you should always
guru shit right there.
That is guru shit. People, you better be writing this fucking shit down.
Yeah, man.
Is it true?
Is free. This podcast is free.
No, this is going to be, we're going to charge for this one. But okay. Is it true that every time Instagram like releases a new feature, you should be like jump on it and be utilizing it immediately because they push it out more?
Yeah, you have to. Otherwise, they'll suppress your account. They will notice the accounts that are not using that feature, and then you won't be popping up in people's feeds.
Wow.
So you have to hammer that feature. Like reels right now, you have to post reels like 4 to 7 times a week, which is
I don't do it that much.
Unfathomable. I know, because you're doing like actual skits. Like you're acting them out. So it's way easier for me to rip a video and then just like insta-size it and put that into reels. But for people that are doing real estate content, it might be a little bit more difficult, even though it's easy for agents to do reels too. Just, you know, film your house, set to some music, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what we were just talking about before this. My managing partner literally just walked through a $5 million house, sped it up to 30 seconds, and it has over 5 million views.
I know. It was crazy. It was set to like a cool hip hop song.
Yeah.
Or whatever song that was. And
that's sold.
He had an engaging, what was his caption? His caption was like, describe this house.
Yeah, he's like really good at captions, genius,
but it works.
No, but he's always like he always asks a question to get the engagement going, which is smart. So what do you feel like is next for Instagram? Because TikTok kind of came and took over for a bit, I would say. Like, and I think the appeal of TikTok is that you can go viral so easily.
Yeah.
So do you think that it's going to have the longevity that Instagram has? And do you, what do you think about it?
These things ageify, right? So like Snapchat was kind of for high school students, college students, and then got to like the older demographic. Instagram was for college students, and now everybody's using it. Facebook is now like an older platform. So if TikTok survives, which I think it will, I think it will ageify. So it's still good to get on it now. And what was the question again?
I just
going somewhere important with that.
Well, no, it's just, do you think it's going to have the longevity that Instagram has?
Oh, okay. I don't know, because it's if TikTok started allowing photos, I think, in their feed, maybe they would have the longevity, because just videos, like it takes so much more to film a TikTok than to post an Instagram, unless you're doing a Reels, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're just posting a picture, you could post stuff from showings you were doing 2 weeks ago, or you could just post text, or you could use one of our templates or something like that.
Yeah.
But to like film a TikTok with like the right lighting, the right song, the right editing, like you got to have no one around you too, because you're filming a fucking TikTok and it's embarrassing.
I just do it anyways.
Do you post on TikTok?
Not really. No.
Okay. It worked in conversation though. That's okay.
Yeah. It's just TikTok. It's weird because it seems like it would be very good for me to transition there.
Yeah. You kill it. Just post your reels to TikTok.
Yeah. But it's just like, yeah, it's more, I feel like it's more than that. I think they're always looking for the big, it's gotta be something big and fucking huge and doing those fucking dances and pointing to shit.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know. It's a little cringe for me a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's cringe, but I don't know. You got to be like where all these platforms and audiences are. So my fear when TikTok came out is it you know, pissed me off because it was just another place to post. But learning TikTok helped me with Reels. Learning Snapchat helped me with Instagram stories. And then you could also transition your audience from TikTok to Instagram too. So it is a good way to learn video, because it seems like video is kind of becoming that like 15-second to 30-second quick edits, set to music, captions jumping out of your face, super visual stuff. Mm-hmm. So even if you hate TikTok, at least like learning the platform, consuming the content is really good for your business.
Don't you think Instagram should just do what TikTok's doing and make their algorithm like easier, so you can go viral again pretty much?
Well, Reels is helping with that.
It is helping with it.
There is an explore page for Reels, and they are promoting Reels more, and the hashtags really do work for Reels. But you're not going to go from, you're not going to have one follower and post something that gets a million views like you can on TikTok. But my views on Reels double and triple that of my just normal views. I'll get like 250,000 views on a reel.
Holy
fuck.
I would
get like 40,000, 50,000.
Chill with your numbers there, but
not as many as your friend with the Toronto video, but
yeah, that's sick.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I average like 20,000, 25,000 reels views.
Solid
for 11,000 followers. Yeah. My best one is just over 40,000. So yeah, it's definitely good. Is that what you'd recommend people like pivot to for real estate? Yeah. Just reels. Yeah.
I mean, it's simple. Do educational stuff on reels, pointed captions, even though it's super cringe.
Yeah.
There's so many opportunities in real estate to do that type of content. So go to your house, film the kitchen, film the living room, film the bathroom. I actually finally came up with rooms in that scenario. Usually I just stop at kitchen. Thank God I got it this time.
It's incredible.
So yeah, you just post reels, set it to some sick song, and it's great marketing. And it's good for your Instagram.
And it's free.
Exactly.
Yeah. Also, what I'll put into that is like Instagram, total, like do everything vertical now. I found that my posts perform so much better when literally everything's vertical. My photos, my reels, my 1 minute videos, everything I format to vertical. Cause I'm always looking at it now as like, if I have a ad in a magazine, we've already been over this. If I have an ad in a magazine, I want the biggest ad space. And that's what vertical video and vertical photo does on Instagram. It takes up the most space and it's the most appealing to the eye.
Absolutely. That's why IGTV kind of sucks now.
Yeah.
Because it's not vertical video. You have to click off the app. Well, not off the app, but you have to do a click through after 15 seconds. So when IGTV came out, Instagram was pushing that and everyone was like, okay, this is the new medium for this. So instead of doing like a YouTube video, I already have my audience on Instagram. I'm going to do these long IGTV skits.
Mm-hmm.
And people are realizing this doesn't work because you can't listen to it still if you click away, like a YouTube video, you know? And then also the non-vertical video, it's way smaller and people just don't have the attention spans.
It's insane.
as like, we found out with the Broken News Network.
Yeah.
Even though the show was great, switched to Reels.
Fantastic show. It switched to Reels. Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, you can do vertical on Insta TV, but it's just like.
Yeah, you can. You're right. Yeah, like, the guru gets it wrong. Yes, guru, you can do it, but IGTV, I don't know. I mean, do you watch them? I don't really watch them.
I watch mine.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. No, I mean, you got to be like, I'm seeing, yeah, it's all about grabbing attention. Like I'm seeing some, literally immediately. I see different property videos where literally it's horizontal to begin with, and their fucking name and their company last 20 seconds of the video before they even get anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's like, yep, dude,
people
like,
are tuned out.
We're fucking done. The only reason I waited because I was upset and I just had to see how long it would go. I was actually counting the seconds.
You were so shocked that someone would post that.
Yeah.
To see what other monstrosity would follow.
And it was like 2 minutes and 30 seconds and I'm looking and it was a good 20, 25 seconds of just like name, brokerage, sales representative. Like who fucking cares? Show me the fucking house.
You almost
house.
Have to jump out and be like, fuck, or, you know, screaming something immediately. And then they'll see the property afterwards.
Well, that's my theory with the way I market things. Mm-hmm. And
just scream fuck at the top of your lungs immediately.
Well, my whole thing is like, listen, here, we're going to do a test right here. Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
Welcome to my beautiful new listing at 444 Overass Road. Okay. So, okay. So welcome to this fucking sick ass house.
Holy shit. I got to see it. I got to write an offer immediately.
Right. You don't even need to know anything about it.
Multiples.
Welcome to this fucking, listen, and this is what you all should be doing. I want to see, welcome to this fucking sick ass house across all of Instagram. Cause like,
or head explosion, you know, put a graphic in there.
Or head explosion.
Standing in front of the house. Your head explodes. A car hits you. So it's gotta be crazy. You gotta have, you know, half.
It's gotta be crazy.
You need people in your thumbnail almost to like see what's going on. Cause people don't want to watch anything.
That's you do. What,
like with the Broke News Network, you know, we had these 8 minute, 10 minute long, like news shows.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of jokes hidden throughout, but if the first 15 seconds wasn't engaging, people weren't going to click on the video.
Yeah. And it's almost like if you're going to dare to do a longer video now on Instagram, it's almost like every 15 seconds, you need to re-grab their attention.
100%. Exactly.
It's
so if you're talking about
crazy.
Mortgage rates, people are done.
Oh, they're fucking done, man.
Yeah.
And like, obviously you're not going to say, welcome to this sick fucking house, but
throughout the entire video,
but there's ways to grab attention without swearing.
Yes.
You know, it's just that's my example because I swear a lot. It's just I don't, you know, whatever. But that's a different story. I swear just as much off air that I do on air. You know, it's just it's in me.
Can confirm. Yes.
Yeah. I say I actually like take a lot of the fucks out of my videos because I swear more than my videos for sure.
Yeah. Well, for Facebook, you got to get those shares. That's where. The real views come from sometimes it's like getting shared on Facebook groups.
Yeah.
Right?
That's why I don't
agents get offended by curse words 100%. Anytime
fuck.
I post anything with a curse word or anything that's like slightly edgy or political, which I don't really ever do political stuff, but it gets eaten up by people saying like, oh, this would be really funny. Except you said fuck like 3 minutes in.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't get that as
that's
much.
How people talk. And
I think people expect
especially.
It now. Oh fuck. Yeah. They, and that's my whole thing. Like, again, I don't expect everyone, I'm not endorsing everyone to just say fuck and shit and whatever they want, but like it has to be a bit more genuine. There's just been no progress with this industry, I feel. And finally we're seeing some now, but it's just like, you have to be genuine. The whole, like I work from 6 a.m. to fucking midnight every day. Like we're not buying it.
Yeah. Grind culture is done, hopefully.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not done, but it's been had too many times. That was kind of like one of the main things with the Broke Agent, was making fun of grind culture,
right?
Because every single real estate agent seemed to be posting so much about what they were doing instead of just actually doing it, just posting how early they got up, posting their motivations, the 5 a.m. club, whatever the fuck that is.
Oh,
just kidding, Aaron. We love the 5 a.m. club.
No, we don't.
And you know, their workouts and their cars and the, you know, glamorous pictures and stuff. And it's just like,
yeah,
I don't know, give us something else.
Yeah. I just
and
think
that's why we're here. to give right. you something else.
And that's why we started this podcast and everything.
Right.
I just think it's almost unrelatable. Like, yeah, I'll say fuck and shit. And I guess that's not relatable for some people. But to me, like if I'm a first time home buyer who's like, you know, really working hard to save a down payment, and this fucking asshole comes in his Mercedes and his $70,000 watch and his fucking nice suit, like it's intimidating for a lot of people. And it's like, okay, I don't know. It's just, I've never related to that. I've always tried to be like the people's realtor. I want to be like
the people's realtor. Throw that on a shirt.
Yeah. The people's realtor. Where like, I just want people to know that like when I go show a $5 million house, I'm still just as shocked to see it. It's not like another day in the office.
Right.
You know what I mean? I want everyone to know that like it's impressive to me as well.
Agreed. You hearing that in the background?
Not really.
Is that why you're laughing? Okay.
No, I'm laughing because I'm trying to think of what I want to say.
Yeah, I wasn't even listening to anything you're saying. I'm just hearing noises going on.
Oh, really?
Small apartment in Brentwood. Yeah.
It's not that small. You told me how big it is. Pretty fucking big.
What, 1,100 square feet?
For a condo, it's not bad.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, geez. Holy fuck. ULA folk, man.
I mean, yeah, this is.
You're living the life.
It feels small in a pandemic, I guess.
I'm in like, it is so cold. It's below zero right now. And I'm in a t-shirt and my furnace isn't on.
Yeah, you're
in LA.
Yeah, I'm from Arizona. So if it's below 80 degrees, I'm freezing my ass off.
Yeah. So there you go. Anyways,
this is the part where every 15 minutes, 15 seconds, they're not getting the juice, the engagement.
They're not getting that juice anymore at all. We're talking about
the weather.
Let's go. That's what I talk to. Like when I see my neighbor, when I fucking walk out my front door, like, yeah, nice out today.
I had a showing today and it's been raining in Los Angeles. I found myself discussing the rain for 5 minutes with the guy before his client showed up. I just kept saying, yeah, man, it's crazy. Like it just keeps coming down. I don't know when it's going to stop.
Really?
And I can't believe that I was doing that because I know how lame that is to actually have that conversation. But sometimes there's just nothing else to say. Like when you're talking to the agent and there's just dead space, it's like, you know, you got any other showings today? You've been busy. What's going on? Right. Like, what do you talk about?
I don't talk.
You just stand there.
I'll just fucking stand there. I don't need, you know, I didn't
headphones in.
I'm not here to make friends, you know? Right. Holy fuck.
Yeah. But don't you want to develop some rapport with the other agent in case they write an offer?
You do a quick scan. Like we do on Instagram, 15 seconds. I know if I'm going to keep going or not. I'm like, hey, how's it going? Yeah.
But
it's going to be a good day for showings. If they say something that I don't like,
gonna
fucking
be a good
silent.
Day for showings. Hey, going to be a good day for showings today?
It's an affirmation for myself.
Right, exactly. It's so good when the other agent has a sense of humor and you can tell immediately. You know, we've talked about this, but it's just the best.
Oh, makes
you
things.
Can make, you crack like one little sample joke when you walk in, being like, oh yeah. And you could also just, you know, cut that, re-edit it. You know, you could also just, you know, jump out the window if you wanted to or something. You know, you just like make one kind of dark joke every now and then and see if they pick it up. And if they're like, oh, that's funny, keep it going. And then the client's interested too.
Yeah. I just say, check out this sick fucking house.
Right. Exactly.
And then they go either yay or nay there. So, you know, you say one thing and that's how you should do everything in your life. If you don't want to talk to someone, don't talk to them. I mean, say something that's going to either get them on your side or make them not want to talk to you. And then you're fucking good. Don't be a dickhead. You know, don't be offensive, but like, well, I suppose swearing could be offensive to some, but guys, fuck, this is free.
You know? Right. Yeah.
Like we're spinning out fucking rhymes right now. Anyways,
bars.
Yes. Bars. Fuck. Mm-hmm. For Instagram.
Yes. Back to the Instagram algorithm.
Yeah. So you do,
fascinating subject.
You do reels.
Are you asking me? Yeah, I do reels.
You do reels. I do some reels. Sometimes I come in the clinch and write a couple things. And
yeah,
just like everyone else, I have to get them approved by the holy power.
Yeah, exactly. Eric. Yeah, you just, you know, post reels, you'll get good engagement. That's the advice. That's the moral of this podcast.
Yeah, post reels.
Yep.
Cool. So let's just, before we wrap up here, Eric,
what else?
Let's talk to everyone about what we're doing with this podcast a little bit, because, you know, I did the first two episodes. I hosted it. I am the host, but you're going to jump in every now and then.
Every now and then. Yeah. You know, if it's people I'm comfortable with talking to, if it's my friends, if I think I could add some good feedback, some good commentary to the podcast, I'll hop in. But when you're interviewing people like, you know, the stars, Jordan Cohen, Ryan Serhant, Maya Vander.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a good host.
Thank you.
And then when you have two people hosting, we're kind of fighting over questions sometimes, even though we've done a good job when we've actually done the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, we don't need that.
No.
People want to hear from Ryan. People want to hear from Jordan. People want to hear from these stars. Yeah. They don't need me in there.
Right.
But if people like me, I'll pop in even more.
Well, I have a feeling this is going to be your last. Your first and your last.
The final podcast.
So, when those of you who don't know, he wasn't on the first two because he was asked not to be there with Jordan and Correct. Ryan. Yeah. Yes. So, and that's going to be kind of it. We're going to be taking sponsors. We have some sponsors lined up right now, actually.
Yes.
So it's exciting shit. It's exciting. It is. It's a lot of work. A lot of fucking work.
Look at that, man. We're just on the same page. It's crazy.
On the same wavelength.
Talk at the same time.
It's like we've had this conversation 15 times. Like
50 times. It's crazy. But yeah, it's a ton of work. It is researching the guests. It's posting the clips to Instagram, posting the pics to Facebook, starting a new website, starting a Patreon, doing merchandise, editing. And I like it though. It's fun.
I love it. Yeah. I like being busy. And like I was saying earlier, it's nice to have someone like, holy fuck, like-minded.
Oh, just got possessed there.
Holy fuck, man. Anyways, like-minded, like yourself. That's real good.
Yes, we are having fun. We enjoy the podcast. We like creating it. It takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
And we hope you enjoy it too. Rate this 5 stars, please. 5 stars really helps.
Yeah. How do we, do you know how to get on the trending podcasts?
No, I wish we could just use like hashtags, plus reels or something like that. Yeah. But I don't know. This is a new form for us.
So yeah.
We're going to figure this out. We're going to talk to people. We got the right guests going. We got the right promo. We got a, you know, big following. So it's going to work.
It is going to work, and we're having a lot of fun.
Final
with
episode. That'd be pretty funny if this was the last episode we released.
We just get banned.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, anyways, I'd say this has been dragging for a good 25 now. So,
End it.
Yeah. So, anyways, review and subscribe on the podcast. We'd really appreciate it. If you're a sponsor or a guest and you think you'd be the right fit, if you're a guest and you think you're the right fit for this, you probably aren't, but you can still message us. We're happy to look at submissions. If you know someone who you think would want to be on this podcast, that's fantastic too. Okay. We're looking for A-listers though. So
only,
you know, bring your A game. And we're not talking about real estate A-listers.
No.
We're talking about the Ryan Goslings, the Jennifer Anistons. So that's who we're going after next. And if you're a sponsor, you'd like to sponsor the number one real estate podcast of all time, well, hit us up as well.
Slide in. You know where to find us.
Slide into probably.
But hey,
yeah.
You didn't ask people where they should find me.
Just you?
Yeah.
Okay.
You ask guests at the end. You say, hey man, where can people find you?
Haven't done it yet, but okay, we can do it here. We can start
have
here.
Have I
with
done
Eric.
That joke in a previous podcast?
Probably. I'm sure you have.
That joke, the horrible joke. Anyway.
Yeah.
The broke agent. I know.
Also, pretty sure you're wearing
podcast. Follow us.
Yeah. Also, Eric's wearing an ugly Christmas sweater, and it's January.
Baby Yoda.
So there you go.
Freezing in here, man. It's 65.
Yeah. Oh, geez. So, Broke Agent Over Us Podcast, Matt.Leonetti. It's spelt Leonetti, LIONETTI. Okay. And that's your promo code for this podcast. Y'all take care now.